Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. From the banks of the Ohio in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical red host Ben Shoulders and obsessive blue host Evan Beck.
Good evening, Hoops fans, and welcome to Red Blue Hoops. My name is Ben Shoulders, past president of the IU Alumni Association of Greater Evansville, and your voice this entire 2016 men's basketball season for IU Hoosiers basketball. Joining me, the man, the myth, and the legend, the big cat, Mr. Evan Beck.
Good evening, Ben. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing great.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have to make a comment here with today's technology. We're sitting here in a studio in downtown Evansville on the third floor of the WNIM building. Kentucky just tipped off against Arkansas down in Hogville. And we have a little iPad sitting here watching the game live while we're doing this show. How cool is that?
Very cool.
You know?
Very cool.
Amazing technology, but I'm looking forward to tonight's show. I'm dedicated. I'm here in the studio with you.
That is
dedication. I'd never miss a show.
That's impressive.
For the award-winning Red Blue Hoops radio show.
Absolutely.
For WNIN. And for you listeners that want to make a call, give us a call, 812-426-7400, or send a tweet at Red Blue Hoops. And tonight, we will talk about the recent games. We have a special announcement. We have a special guest in the studio tonight, a repeat
Absolutely.
Guest from last year. The infamous Marlon Moore is in the house tonight. And then after Marlon, we'll talk about some upcoming games and predictions and talk about some area college hoops for the Aces and the Screaming Eagles. So, Ben, I know you have the hottest team between the two of us right now, so I'm going to kick it back over to you for your last couple of games.
Well, thank you, Evan, and thanks again to Marlon Moore for joining us, which we'll get to him in a sec. The Red Hot Hoosiers, the big cat.
I mean, 11 game win streak.
We're 16-3. We're 6-0 first place in the Big Ten. We have not lost a game since losing by 20 at Duke. We're on fire. So,
yes.
How did we do this week? Here's how we did, real quick. Saturday, we played at Minnesota, which Marlon knows. We've historically never done well at the barn. It's
right.
A tough place to play. Going back to 94, we lost by 50, 111-61.
When Who we coached had that team Anderson. For you guys?
Coach Bob Knight.
Who?
Bob Knight.
Lost by 50?
Lost by 50 at the barn. Vashawn Leonard had 36 and torched us that game. We lost
by
50.
Was Bob upset?
He was. I would not want to have been in the locker room. So going back to then and probably even before then, we've never played well. Went in there, tied at half, eked it out by 7 points, played okay. And then the next game, which was Tuesday night against Illinois at home, I mean, just domination.
Wow.
Two school records were made that night, Evan, in a 103-69 romp.
Ooh.
19 three-pointers made, an all-time school record in one game.
That's
and
incredible.
Yogi Ferrell set the all-time career mark in career assists, breaking Michael Lewis's record of 545 career assists.
That's impressive.
A great night. Fun night, and IU keeps rolling. So that's how we did this week.
That's awesome. That is impressive. I have to say that you guys are extremely hot right now. You're climbing the polls.
We are.
I know your fan base has to be excited. I know the fan base is still a little divided over Crean, but when a team's climbing the polls, people tend to forget about those coaching problems pretty quickly. And
absolutely.
The health of your fan base gets healthy again.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. You guys get around that team and support it. Right now, Kentucky's up 8-3. At Arkansas, big rebound by Porthress. We have a caller on the line, first caller of the night, and I think she's a little upset because Tomcat tried to take her number one position last week. We have the sensuous voice, Geraldine the Cat, calling in from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Geraldine, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, how are you guys?
Pretty good. How are you?
Wonderful.
I'm good. Congratulations to you, Ben. I was just listening to you talk about the Hoosiers and their recent run of good luck, and I had no idea, so I just wanted to say congratulations to you. I'm sure you're enjoying that.
We appreciate that, Geraldine the Cat. We keep rolling.
Hey, Geraldine, before we get into your basketball questions, I understand a big winter storm is bearing down on your part of the country. Do you have your milk and eggs stowed away?
More than enough, actually. I live way out in the country, so I have actually ventured in off the homestead tonight because I'm already getting a little stir-crazy. So I'm coming in for some good Mexican food and going to the movies tonight. But I had to get my call in before I eat my taco.
We appreciate that. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I just wanted to call and say I had a chance to listen to Adolph Rupp's ghost comments last week, and wow, what a fascinating call that was. I hope he makes another appearance in future shows. Thought that was fabulous. And he brought up a point that I found particularly interesting and something I've actually had an opportunity to have a conversation with another athlete about this very topic in recent weeks. And he mentioned that for all these other teams, playing UK is like going to play the Super Bowl for them.
Right.
And that puts a lot of pressure on UK week in and week out. And I don't want to give them an easy out, and certainly don't like it when people whine about the advantages of being number one. But I do think it adds a certain level of pressure that other teams don't have when they play against UK. So I just thought I'd like to hear your comments on that.
Sure. Great question, Geraldine. That Super Bowl analogy was coined by Calipari several years ago. He says that when Kentucky goes on the road, especially in the conference, we are everyone's Super Bowl. And it could sound like coach speak at first, but if you look at the stats, when Kentucky travels, it's the other team's typically only sellout of the season. I'll give you an example this year already. LSU, Kentucky plays, the only sellout of the season. Last week, Auburn, sellout. Tonight, Arkansas, near sellout. And typically, they have some sort of special T-shirt giveaway, a whiteout like they have in Arkansas tonight, or a blackout, whatever. So there's no question when Kentucky comes to town, it's a big show. And for a young team as we are, there's no question they're having a hard time learning how to not just play, but how to play winning basketball on the road. There's a difference. Making winning plays late in the game, like Jamal Murray, is learning how to do that right now. At Auburn last week, he made about 5 plays in the last 10 minutes that were not, quote-unquote, winning basketball plays. So, great question on your part. We appreciate the call. Take care during that winter storm.
All right, y'all. Stay warm.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Take care. Well, Ben, again, congratulations. You guys are smoking hot. I think another thing, talking about since the Duke game, again, I know it's been discussed both verbally and in some newspaper articles. Since James Blackman got injured, unfortunately, I hate to see anyone get hurt, but your team is playing a different level of basketball. I looked at the stats. Since he's gotten hurt, your defensive ranking has gone from 110 to 55.
Well, we actually have 5 players playing defense at once.
Makes a huge difference.
As good as Blackman was offensively, second leading scorer on a team and led the Big Ten in threes, he just wasn't there, to say the least, defensively. So now we have 5 players playing defense and a couple who used to be reserves stepping up, like OG, among others, and we're really gelling. How'd your Wildcats do this past week? Let's talk about that real quick.
Let's see. Since our last show, we've only had 1 game since we're playing now at Arkansas. We traveled to Auburn last Saturday, coached by someone very familiar with our Evansville crew, Bruce Pearl himself. And tell you what, Bruce had that place fired up that night. You know, Bruce is one of the best motivators in the college game. And ESPN showed his pregame speech in the locker room, and it had me a little bit fired up.
Yeah, he's a motivator, I tell
you. And Kentucky came out. They developed a 12-point lead with 15 minutes to play, playing pretty well. I thought that we were showing improvement on the road in a hostile environment. But then from that point on, it's like a little switch got flipped again. And we started making some bad decisions. Shot selection was questionable at times. And Auburn got back in the game. They are one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the conference. That's really their bell cow offensively is 3-point shooting.
Yep.
And the game was tight late. And Derek Willis was guarding their best player beyond the 3-point line. Shot clock was running down. The kid faded away. Fell out of bounds, threw up the ball. It banked off the top corner and went in. At that point, I thought we were done, and we were. One shining star from last week's game was Derek Willis that I mentioned previously. He came in off the bench, dropped in 12 points, but more importantly, got 12 rebounds.
Wow.
His Achilles heel has been his defense and rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad sent him a text before the game and said, son, I want you to get 6 rebounds tonight. Well, he went out and got 12. So that was a big positive. Now, check this out. Ben, you're a stats guru.
I am.
Tyler Ulis is 5'8", maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He played 40 minutes. He had 17 points and 10 rebounds.
Holy mackerel.
That's not the cool part.
Oh.
Or the bad part. If you combined Alex Poitras, Marcus Lee, and Scal Labissiere, they played a combined 48 minutes, only 11 points, only 9 rebounds. So Tyler Ulis, 5'8", outperformed our front court. How is that possible?
That's impressive. Wow.
But no,
it's not impressive for the rest of it, but it's impressive for Ulis.
I mean, if you're Coach Cal, you're taking Poitras, Lee, and Scal and looking at 5 foot nothing over here saying, this kid just kicked your butt up and down the court.
Absolutely.
But go ahead.
I think we have a call.
Uh-oh.
He's anxious. We have a patient waiting.
We have a competition going between Geraldine
really
the Cat.
Do. Yes.
And now we have Tomcat. Welcome,
Absolutely.
Tom.
Hey, gentlemen. Good to hear you. How are you?
Doing great. Are you ready for that blizzard?
We are hunkering down. We've got the radar, the Doppler on. We've got the we've got kerosene. We've got it all. Electric blankets. We're prepared. So
Doppler
bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Wow. What can we do for you tonight, Tomcat?
Hey, well, listen, you did a great job. Your comment about just the low playing time and the performance sets up my question to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, what player on each respective team is, in your opinion, is not getting a fair share of playing time that you think would make a greater impact on the outcome of the game? And just want to get you thinking in that regard, if you don't mind.
I would have said OG prior to the Blackman injury. But now, with Blackman being hurt, I don't really think, and I think Evan's going to answer the same, I believe. I would say right now the rotations, knock on wood for Indiana, are right where they need to be. I mean, we've got 3 or 4 substitutes who are coming in, giving us quality minutes, playing defense, shooting the ball well, getting good shots. And the starting five are certainly productive. So I don't think right now there are any problems with the rotation. Again, prior to the Blackman injury, I would have said I would have liked to see OG and Morgan both playing more. Now with him hurt, and again, you hate to see any player get injured, but I think the rotation is working great.
It kind of self-resolved, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Kind of took care of itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Tomcat, we appreciate the call. And on Kentucky's side, I don't really have an answer because I think Cal Perry is continually trying to shake up his lineup to find an answer. And I think early on, well, not totally at the beginning of the season, but as we got into conference play, Scal Labissiere, we saw his minutes shrinking due to lack of performance. So now we're seeing players like Derek Willis playing more minutes, which is what I was hoping we'd see due to his improvement defensively and rebounding. So I think right now I don't have really a particular player that I'd want to see logging more minutes for UK. And by the way, an update for those that don't have a chance to see the game. Ooh, Labissiere, a massive putback two-handed dunk. Kentucky's up 17-7 at the 12-minute mark. All right, Ben, we've covered our most recent games. Let me get back to Auburn real quick. A couple things. Bruce Pearl, you know, he's a man of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an indication how much that win meant to Bruce and his program. After the game, he was brought to tears.
Yeah.
I mean, he was absolutely, you know, probably tears of joy, obviously, from taking down Kentucky.
Yeah.
Bruce and Cal have a longstanding rivalry between the two of them, dating back to when Bruce was at Tennessee, Cal was at Memphis.
Sure.
And so a huge win for Auburn. You know, I had a niece that attended vet school at Auburn. She's now over in Marion, Illinois, Hannah Thomas. And then I've got a nephew that's a sophomore at Auburn right now. So I've got a couple of Auburn connections, but I don't want to lose to him in basketball. That's for sure.
That was a tough thing to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I think hopefully we're seeing some improvement on the road tonight. Again, Arkansas was favored coming into this game. We're up by 10, so we'll see how it goes. But anyway, what else is going on in B-Town, B-Dog?
Well, we're heading up. We'll get to this later, but we're heading up Saturday to the game, Northwestern. Northwestern's having a phenomenal year this year for the Wildcats. You know, they're the only BCS team in the country to never make the NCAA tournament. only team in a BCS conference to never make the NCAA tournament. And every year, the last few years, they've knocked on the door. They're 15-5 right now, and they just can't seem to make it. So, but Evan, you know, I want to bring something up here before we go to break.
Is this a news flash?
It is a news flash.
Well, Berger was going to work on a sound bite for us with the news flash sound, but I had to do it manually again. Ben, the mic's yours.
I want to say to you specifically, Big Cat, but to everybody here, Samantha, the Bergman, Steve Berger, Brad Kimmel.
Intern Jim Gotsy.
Jim Gotsy, also Walker.
Walker Beck.
And others. Unfortunately, this is my last show of the season. Next year, if we do this again, we hope we do. Hopefully, I'll be back. But this is my last show of the season. I've decided to run for public office, so I cannot do the show anymore. But it's not because of lack of interest, certainly.
Sure.
I love Red Blue Hoops, and I certainly love you, Evan.
Oh, man.
And love the station. Wow, so I just want to say thank you all.
Big man hug
and,
up here in the studio
this
tonight.
This is my last show of the season, but there are 8 more shows to go after this one, and we're going to work something out with some other folks. But I just want to say that thank you to all the callers who have continued to call in and to listen. And go Hoosiers.
Tell us more about what you're filing for.
Yeah, I'm filing for Vandenberg County Commissioner, District 1 here in Vandenberg County. So I live on the east side of Evansville, and so that's you have to live in certain districts, and that's the area I live in. So I'm anxious to serve, and to we launched our campaign yesterday. So I'm excited for that, but that is the reason why I am withdrawing from the show after tonight, and again, have sincerely and truly enjoyed this, and I hope to be back next year for the 2016-17 season. So you have not lost the B-Dog. You've just temporarily contained him.
Well, congratulations on your decision. I know you've been thinking about it, talking to friends, family, co-workers, your leadership there, and I think you've put together a really good team. I know your campaign manager really well.
Appreciate that.
Pat Tooley, mm-hmm. who is one of the most experienced politicians in our community and has a decorated past in being a good leader.
It's nice of you to say.
And I think you'll do an excellent job being your campaign manager. But
Thanks
we're gonna miss you here. I think we were getting into a really nice pocket working together this season and season 2 for the award-winning Red Blue Hoop Show. But we will carry on the tradition and keep the show going and hopefully bring us back to season 3 next year.
Absolutely.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll go to break here. To our listeners, give us a call. Questions and comments. The Cats are up. Give us a call, 812-426-7400 or tweet at Red Blue Hoops.
883.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, welcome back. Red Blue Hoops. Give us a call, 812-426-7400. Tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Our intern Jim Gotsy is wanting some tweets tonight, folks. I want to give a shout out to our technical director, Sam. Sam?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing back there?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I just want to make an introduction to your voice to our listeners out there since we haven't done that the first 2 shows.
They get to hear me in the mornings on newscasts and stuff.
Yeah, but this is a whole new collection of listeners. So, Sam, you're doing a great job so far.
Thanks.
Who's your favorite team, IU or UK?
Oh, I'm going to say UE Aces. I'm just going to pull a neutral card.
Good job. Way to be politically correct on that. So, I tell you what, I see the Bergman back there with the magic pen. We must have a caller coming in, which we love. Right now we have Tomcat. Man, I tell you what, Tomcat, you have the happy fingers dial our number. What do you got?
Hey, listen, I had an opportunity to play tennis with Kyle Macy at Lexington this past fall. And my question to you is, do you think Kyle – if inserted in his youth on Coach K's team right now, would have the athleticism and the skill sets to start?
Good question.
Oh, my.
That's a great question, Tomcat.
Man, let me think about this. Yeah. The athleticism to start. Well, let's boil it down this way. Let's look at the starting five. We start a three-guard lineup right now with Briscoe, Murray, and Ulis. Could he put one of those kids on the bench? Yes. He could put Isaiah Briscoe on the bench right now. So I would say, yeah, I think he could start on this year's team. Yep. I could put Isaiah.
Okay, good.
Yep. His ball handling was phenomenal. One of the all-time best free throw shooters in NCAA history. He could shoot the ball really well, although he didn't shoot often because Joby Hall didn't like guards to shoot outside about 12 feet back then. But, no, I think he could start. I think he'd put Briscoe on the bench. That's a great
– I appreciate your opinion on that.
Very interesting question.
He's a good tennis player. Good tennis player, too.
Yeah. Thanks for the call,
Tom. All right.
Thanks, we appreciate the call. I appreciate it. All right, Ben, I'm going to turn the mic over for you to introduce our special guest.
We have our first guest of the season. It only took our third show, and we already have a guest. So that shows you how popular now the show has become. Of course, when you win awards, Evan, that pretty much happens. You know,
yeah.
Accolades come with that. So in the studio, folks, live Red Blue Hoops, Mr. Marlon Moore, who not only owns Jimtown Bar in downtown Evansville, but has owned it for over 19 years, and it is truly. I actually went over there at lunchtime against the Wisconsin game about 2 weeks ago and watched it. It is truly a staple in Evansville. It is truly a staple in Vandenberg County. And if you're an IU fan, there is no better place to watch a game, not just with the fanfare and the fan base, but the TVs, everything there. I'll let Marlon get into more of that. But Marlon Moore in the studio. He's here, and thank you, Marlon, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Marlon, tell us about how you think the Hoosiers are doing in your eyes this year. I think they're having a great year.
I think they are. And, you know, they started out a little sluggish.
Yep.
We were moving the ball fast with style in a way, but then we got a little crazy out of hand.
Yeah.
And I think he's got everything back. And like you had mentioned earlier, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but with Blackman out, I mean – we're playing better ball. We really are.
And I think the two keys, wouldn't you agree with this, turnovers and defense.
Yes.
We're just doing such a better job on those two ends of the floor and also rebounds. But what do you think about, and you hate to say, hey, we're better without because of an injury. But, you know, ever since he got hurt, we're seeing these reserves step up, such as OG. What else can we do better?
Well, I mean, just keep what we're doing,
I think.
Because we're playing defense now, like you said, we're moving the ball. OG has just been great. Thomas Bryant is really he's a monster.
Yeah, he's improving. Coming into his
He's improving big time.
Absolutely. Think about him. He plays hard every possession.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've moved up now to 23rd in the coaches poll, 25th in AP, and 24th in KenPom, I believe. But remember, too,
KenPom.
Is that where we are,
yep.
24th? It fluctuates, you know, so mm-hmm. Beginning of the season, if you recall, we were preseason 15th.
Right.
And then after the first week of the season, we lose in Maui, too. We barely are ranked, and then we lose to Duke. We fall out. So we're just now climbing back. But remember, this team had high expectations. And so if we can get back to kind of where we were preseason-wise, that'd be good for everybody.
I got a question for you, and this is by no means trying to bash anybody, but since you are in touch with the fan base as much as anyone in our community due to you owning Jimtown Bar,
absolutely.
What's the current – I guess, position of the Indiana fan base in regard to your coach? I get asked this all the time.
Right.
You know, and I have a lot of friends and around the community that I do business with or whatever.
There's a lot that's still kind of skeptical with him, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I won't say no names.
You know
who I'm talking about, guys.
but
there's several. And like you had mentioned earlier, when you start winning, you don't hear as much about,
winning cures a lot of ills,
it does.
Absolutely.
It does.
But when people are hanging out at your establishment there, what are some of the criticisms of Coach Crean that you hear?
They call him Mr. Clappy.
Clappy Crean.
He does clap a lot.
Yeah, he does.
They just don't think he's a good defensive coach. Just a big recruiter, which he is a very good recruiter.
Yeah.
A lot of it just mainly they don't think he can do defense. I was skeptical of it, and I'm getting over it.
Sure.
And again, like you said, winning kind of changes. But
well, again, since the Blackman injury, I think my stats are fairly accurate here. Indiana's defense has gone from 110th in the nation up to 55th now. That's a major improvement.
Yeah.
So Yeah, defense is getting better.
Defense is getting awesome.
Now, you're all shooting.
Yes, right.
Off the charts.
Off the charts.
Now, I asked Ben this last year. He wouldn't reveal the answer. Okay. But I know Crean's not in charge of shooting, but there's an assistant coach that is. Who's responsible for the great shooting?
I don't know which one.
Coach
the
Tom
trainer.
Crean.
Whoever it is deserves a raise.
Well, I know we have a call here, Marlon, but also speaking to what you know, speaking to what Evan is discussing, on the defensive end, the last three games at half, 18 points we held Ohio State to at halftime, 34 at Minnesota, and 25 against Illinois. I mean, halftime scores. I mean, those are – that's incredible defense compared to especially where we were in November.
Oh, yeah. You guys were like a sieve.
We were giving up 50 at half.
We had one guy that couldn't guard a light pole in Blackman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And for them, and kind of even Troy Williams.
Did you guys ever track the efficiency ratio like the NBA does about, okay, a player may put up 20, but what does he give up?
And his was our not always.
Neutral?
Either neutral or even sometimes negative.
That's what I think was a negative. Yeah.
Do we have another call here?
We do. It's Tomcat.
Wow. He's got the trick.
It's a hat trick. Tomcat trifecta. Tomcat, go ahead. Red Blue Hoops.
Yeah, real fast. Last call, I promise. Ben, I just heard from Geraldine, because I wasn't listening to the show. I was just calling in. I wasn't in a position to do that. But this is your last radio show on the Blue Red show. And I just want to say that you have handled yourself with extreme competence, with extreme passion and professionalism. And I know if you conduct your public service life in that capacity, they've got a winner. So our is their gain. I really mean that, Ben.
Tomcat, thank you. That is really, really nice of you to say, and I appreciate that. I really do. This is not my last show. It's just my last show this season. Hopefully next year the B-Dog will be back. This is my last one of this season. But thank you. That is really, really nice of you to say, and I really appreciate it. And we appreciate you calling in and being a loyal listener.
We wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tomcat. You know, the Wally Pipp story I told last week, New York Yankee.
Yeah.
He said, Coach, I'm not feeling well. Can I sit a game out? And the coach or the manager said, sure, Wally. Well, some guy named Lou Gehrig took a spot and didn't sit down ever again. So you never know. You could get Wally Pipped.
We could get what's your guy in Lexington that has like the most popular radio show in the world or something?
Matt Jones.
Yeah, we could get the next Matt Jones. And now –
well, check this out.
Yeah.
The National Democratic Party in May approached him about running for Congress. And
that's impressive.
They flew him to D.C. for a three-day boot camp. And they were really coming after him. Like, he had a meeting with Nancy Pelosi over this stuff. And he strongly considered it. And a lot of people were calling in, giving their opinion about whether or not he should run and give up his spot potentially on his radio show. And I thought it would have been a mistake because for him, his radio show is at the all-time pinnacle.
Sure.
And his market capture rate is just off the charts. So he decided not to run. But this situation is different for you, Ben. You're a community servant and you're going to take a chance at making a difference. So looking forward to it. And for our Kentucky listeners that may not be familiar with Indiana politics or Indiana political structure, there's three commissioners versus a county judge executive, just so people are wondering.
Right.
So anyway,
this is one of the slides.
Back to Marlon. Marlon, tell us more about we were talking about Coach Crean and how the fan base feels. What about what's the atmosphere like? Who's the favorite player in this year's team, in your opinion?
Troy's picked it up. Now I'm Troy, but I tell you, OG coming in and doing some of the plays and putbacks that he's doing, I mean, he's kind of been mine. Yogi's always been mine, of course, but
yeah,
as far as the new ones, you know, OG is just, I think, off the charts.
He's playing well. And Marlon, do you think that Yogi, you know, kind of similar to Euless, they list Yogi at 6 foot. He's
no
not
way.
6 foot. I've stood next to him. I mean, I'm 6'2", and I was way taller than 2 inches, you know. But he, do you think he'll be drafted? It's kind of hard to
say. I think he will. I don't know. It's going to be a later round. I think he will. I think someone's going to take a chance on him.
Up until the early 80s, there were numerous rounds, and they cut it to only two rounds. I think it was 1984 or three. So only having two rounds is going to be hard. Right. 60 picks. But he may get picked up if not drafted. But, if he was 4 inches taller, he'd get drafted for sure.
For
but
sure.
When you're 5'10", if that – playing against 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guards, it's just hard to be, hard to get.
Right.
But here's the real question. Will Bryant go pro?
This season?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he's coming back.
Gosh, that'd be great.
I know this was the beginning of the season, but he was making comments that he's at least a two-year player at IU. I mean, of course, that was before the season. But now that he's starting to just be in beast mode.
Well, okay, my observation of Bryant, he does not take a playoff. I mean, that's huge. I mean, a big guy with a big heart, that's rare. You know, you've seen it over the years where you have players that have the length and the height, but maybe not love the game. In fact, they were talking about this week on sports radio about tall players that maybe play the game because they're tall. How about Joe Barry Carroll, Purdue? He was that way. I mean, he had an incredible touch and all that stuff, but he admitted he didn't love the game of basketball. Some people have to remember, these kids play just because they're tall sometimes.
That's true. That's a good point.
So,
great point.
Anyway.
Who was the guy that the Wizards took when Jordan first? He was the same way, too. Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, no, you're exactly right.
Didn't care a bit about basketball.
Well, Marlon, what about Troy Williams? You mentioned him earlier as one of your favorites. Athletically, he's off the charts. But does he have the basketball IQ and or the composure to get drafted this year? Well, he's only a junior. He can come back.
Correct. I'm hoping he comes back too. But he like I say, he gets going at a certain speed sometimes. Then he gets in trouble, and he's trying to find somebody to throw the ball to. And
which he has turning done it over. Better at, yes, yeah, at that last couple games, which is a part of the reason why they're doing well.
I think he has a chance to get drafted this year because he has some intangibles that the NBA loves.
Yeah, I agree.
That mid-range height, that freak athleticism. Oh. He can move in open space. We have a caller. We have Milkman from Evansville. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops, Milkman. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is to Coach Moore. My question is, if it came right down to it and Tom Crean left the Indiana basketball team, who would be his choice to replace Tom Crean?
You, Milkman.
Coach,
definitely you, Milky.
Coach Milky.
I need that answer.
Do what?
He wants an answer.
Did he say who is Coach Crean's choice? Or
No. His choice.
Oh, my choice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. You know, there's rumors that Butler's ex-coach was going to come back and take it, which, you know, that's just all rumors. That was last year and all. I don't know. That's a tough one to think about. That's a quick question. You told me to be ready, and I wasn't ready for you.
All right. Hey, thanks for catching my call on the air there, and I'll continue to listen.
See you, Marky.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Hey, folks, we're getting ready to go to break, our second break of the night. Give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Need to get our intern, Jim Geisey, some action here tonight.
Yeah.
We do have one tweet before break. It's from Travis Clement. He says, Kentucky is looking like Kentucky again. I guess he's talking about Kentucky's up 22-15, but let's go to break. Red Blue Hoops.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
And we're back, Red Blue Hoops, on this beautiful January 21st evening, Evan. A little cold outside. Snow's on the ground. It's basketball season, 88.3 FM. Hanging with our man, Mr. Marlon Moore, the owner of Jimtown Bar, which is a staple in not just downtown Evansville, in Evansville and the whole Vandenberg County as well. Marlon, tell us a little bit more about, you know, upcoming, which is kind of our next segue into the show anyway. We're at home this Saturday, morning game. I'm going to try to head up if the weather permits, knock on wood, against a hot Northwestern team. They're 15-5. I believe they're made their way up to 70th now in KenPom. So that's certainly respectable. Only team in a BCS conference in the country to never make the NCAA tournament. Only team. So they're hungry to make the tournament. They're hungry to get some quality wins. This would certainly be one for them, but they are coming into the hall. Your prediction, Marlon?
That's going to be a tough one because, like you said, they're playing good ball, 15-5.
Absolutely.
Very good team. I know it's hard to win on the road.
Yeah.
And we're playing very good at home, undefeated this year so far.
Yeah.
We gotta have our game plan ready. I mean, we gotta be ready for them, not take them lightly, which I don't think Coach Green having them taking it lightly.
Well, and speaking of Coach Green, the game after Saturday, we go to Madison, which Green has never won at Wisconsin. He just now beat Wisconsin for the first time. I believe it was last season or the season before. Playing it in Madison, especially at IU, similar to Minnesota, only probably even more difficult. So next two games are big. So if we can start 8-0 in the Big Ten, that would be huge. I saw a stat today, which I kind of blew me away. We've only started 6-0 in the Big Ten, which is what we currently are, three times since 93, and we haven't started 7-0 since 93 with Calvert-Cheney. Now, that, to me, I couldn't believe that either the 08 team or 2013 team didn't start 7-0, but that apparently they didn't. Because the 08 team with Gordon and White, and then the 13 team with Depot and Zeller, both top five in the country teams. But anyway, neither here nor there.
They played tougher schedules back then. No, because the Big Ten's expanded now, and you guys played home and home against the traditional Big Ten teams. I think the schedules are a little bit tougher because now you have those what's called a swing schedule. Some years, like this year, so far your schedule's been front-loaded with the easier teams in the Big Ten.
Correct.
You're backloaded this year.
Yeah, we are back. No, that there's
they,
no
in
doubt
fact,
about
they discussed that.
That
live on ESPN the other night with Jay Williams and Seth Greenberg.
Talked
about that specifically. So
no, that's true. But you know, regardless of that, starting 7-0 or 8-0, still Marlon would be awesome.
Awesome.
Sure.
So do you your prediction next two games?
Well, we'll pick this one up Saturday.
Yeah,
I'm confident I'm gonna do that. And then, like you said, going on the road, we got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to keep it going.
Absolutely.
And the road games are tough, but I think they can do it.
That's great. Folks, 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. Evan, anything else you got for Mr. Moore here? And we'll let him get back to Jimtown here pretty soon. They're probably calling for him.
No, I'm good. I really appreciate you coming in and being a guest tonight. I would put you in the category of one of the classy IU fans that I've run across here in this community. So thanks for being a supporter of Red Blue Hoops.
Thanks for having me. Ben, good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Marlon. I appreciate that, and we appreciate all that you do here. Hopefully we can see you again in the studio.
Okay. I'll come back.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I want to give a quick shout-out to one of our loyal listeners that I hear is a little bit under the weather tonight, little Sophie Gray out there in Newburgh. Hope she gets better. Hey, Ben, we have to talk about some upcoming games and some other things going on, but I want to give a mention, a little bit off topic, but the University of Kentucky cheerleaders won their 21st national championship last week.
I would have never known that had you not just said that, but congratulations.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That is, I guess.
Let's talk about, before we get into our upcoming games, let's talk about the state of college basketball.
Well, that's a great segue because I had a question.
Yep.
And apparently, we talked kind of offline, off the air. We talk a lot, Evan, texting and stuff like that. ESPN, according to you at least, incorrectly reported that this most recent game Kentucky had.
At Auburn,
ESPN claimed that Kentucky walked off the floor without shaking the other team's hand. Now,
they did.
Okay.
They did.
But
that's correct.
But before we get into a debate, which I don't think there even really is a reason to, because I think the real thing that happened is what, Evan?
Well, it became clearly apparent that the Auburn fan base was going to rush the court due to Auburn upsetting Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And the UK administration instructed the players on the bench to leave the court before the game ended, which is a safety mechanism. Kentucky has had a history since Cal Perry's been there of some pretty rough experiences on the road, dating back to at South Carolina. A couple fans during a court rushing situation approached DeMarcus Cousins in a physical manner. In 2014, at Arkansas, we lost that dramatic overtime game on that putback dunk.
Mm-hmm.
So a fan came out and came toward Aaron Harrison on the court with his fist, you know, clutched, you know. So,
yeah.
And then obviously the 2012 experience in Bloomington, we had, Darius Miller was trampled and then some other things went on. So Kentucky has a little bit of a sensitive position on this court rushing situation, and they mm-hmm. just removed the players from the court. I fully support it because this year I think it was Iowa State, a media member had a leg broken due to a court rushing situation. And at some point, in a college game, there's going to be an incident between a fan and a player that's going to be really bad. And it's going to be a serious situation.
No, I agree with that.
So.
And one more thing I wanted to point out. I don't know if you saw this, but I mean, I had to bring this up because I failed to mention this last week. So if you recall, a couple weeks ago, we had the game where we honored this 1976
undefeated team.
Undefeated team. Okay. All the players that played a lot, at least, were there, right? Even Jim Cruz, who's still a head coach, even came over to Bloomington, and it was a great evening. The one missing piece, and probably the most important piece, and most certainly most influential, was Coach Knight. He did not show up. He was absent. He still has not set foot in Assembly Hall since September of 2000. Now, a week later, I still can't get over this, and there are some very, very unhappy Hoosier fans because of this. Knight's entire career, his 29 years in Indiana, he basically said, and I'm being nice, how much he disliked Purdue. You know, he threw the chair against Purdue. There are a lot of things. Get this, and Evan, you won't believe this. He was a guest at Purdue's Agricultural Alumni Association Fish Fry on February 6th. I believe it was in Fort Wayne, I believe. It was in Indiana. And did not come back for the 76 undefeated team in Bloomington.
Now, Bob loves his fishing.
Well, he obviously loves Purdue, too. So that is extremely disappointing, and I'm being nice because there are some Hoosier fans that are – I mean, the title of this article I'm looking at is I'm officially done with Bob Knight.
Let's be honest with ourselves. Are any of us in the studio shocked? No. I'm not shocked at all. I can tell you stories until the sun comes up about Bob Knight. In fact, my brother, in 1985, the Final Four was held in Lexington. And – each year at the Final Four, the coaches' conference coincides with the Final Four,
right.
Okay? So my brother at the time was in between undergrad and grad school. He was working as a bellman at the Radisson, which is now the Hilton, adjacent to Rupp Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one morning. He's on duty. Here comes Denny Crum and Bob Knight walking into the Radisson. And he looks at my brother and says several words that we can't say on the air, but the sentence was basically asking where the breakfast was. But he said it in a tone... You know, it's just like, what? You don't have to act like that. Just because you win basketball games doesn't give you a pass to treat people like total disrespect. I never have had respect for the man, ever. He's a great basketball coach during a period of time, but he treated people horribly.
But attending a Purdue alumni event a week after or a few weeks after he did not go to Indiana,
He has poor character, poor judgment.
Yeah.
So... But hey, let's talk about the state of college basketball.
Absolutely.
There was a very unique record set this week, I think on Tuesday night. And it points to how much parity we currently have in the game of college basketball.
I agree with that.
All-time college basketball history, the most top 10 teams losing by this date of the season occurred Tuesday night, and we've had two more top 10 teams lose since then.
That's
so
amazing.
Think about that. The old cliche, it's wide open. I think it's overused year in, year out. But this year, I think it is wide open.
I've never seen anything like this. I mean, last year, Kentucky dominated everyone.
The best three teams were Wisconsin, Duke, and Kentucky, clearly, last year. Those three teams were a different echelon. This year, there is not. There's not that upper echelon of teams.
There's
And in addition to that, would you have taken this bet? If someone came up to you and said, I'll bet you $100 – that Coach K of Duke and Coach Izzo of Michigan State go 0-6 the same week. They both lose three games in a row. Now think about that.
That doesn't even seem
possible.
Yeah.
Both teams were ranked in the preseason top 10 in every preseason ranking.
Well, and you notice, Evan, I said that's amazing because let's briefly touch on the Coach K press conference, and I'm digressing now, but after his third loss in a row recently in the press conference, I think he said it's amazing. He might have said amazing 27
times. At one point in time, he just sat there
in
the microphone and kept saying,
it was amazing.
It was an amazing play.
Someone needs to count. In 10 minutes, he might have said that word 27 times. So
I think college basketball right now is really wacky as things have gotten into conference play. You know, conference play is always where the acid test occurs. It's where the coaches are most familiar with each other. The systems are most familiar to the players. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on the road. You know, the preseason, most coaches pad their schedule. They only go on the road once or twice on true road games. In conference play, you're on the road half the time.
Yep.
So right now, all these as an example, everyone thought Kansas all of a sudden separated itself from the rest of the pack along with Oklahoma. Well, Kansas goes to Oklahoma State, coached by Travis Ford, and got beat by, 20? the other night?
Yeah.
I mean, got blown out. And how about this? Michigan State loses at home to Nebraska? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Good gracious almighty. Who would have ever thought that would happen?
Well, and even relating it to IU, Illinois beats Purdue, who at the time was ranked 12th, and turns around and loses by almost 40 to IU.
And no offense,
so it's unbelievable.
No offense to my good friends, the Brattons, but Illinois' program is terrible. I mean, they're not good at all. But how do they beat Purdue?
That's what I don't know. I mean, Purdue has two 7-footers and one that's almost 7-foot.
I watched the Illinois and Indiana game the other night. Man, Illinois looked rough. But anyway, college basketball, I mean, for the average fan that's not totally living and dying by one particular team, boy, it's got to be a fun year, I would think. All these upsets and everything and the conference play. And I think we have some tweets coming in because our intern, Jim Gotze, he's run out of ink in this pen over here. But I got a new stat for you, Ben.
Yes, dog.
IU's 4 100-point games this season are its most since 5 such outings in the 92-93 season.
A lot of things happened in 93 season. We should have hung a banner that year if Allen Henderson didn't break his arm.
You know, that year when Kentucky-Indiana met at Freedom Hall, Chaney and Nover had 29 each.
I think it was Chaney and Bailey, I believe.
Chaney and Nover had 29 each. Mashburn and Ford had 29 each. It was a great shootout. Very well played basketball game. Yep, in Freedom Hall.
I remember that. I think it was Bailey.
So, you know, I got to make a shout out. Jim Godsey will know the Russell County crew, Russell County, Kentucky. I know you guys are listening out there tonight. You're still probably celebrating from winning the going wet vote this week. But hey, we haven't heard from you guys this season. Give us a call at Red Blue Hoops, 812-426-7400, or give us a tweet at Red Blue Hoops. Ben, give us your upcoming games. We're getting short on time.
Well, I know. Marlon and I talked about it a little bit. I'll touch on it again real quick. This Saturday, 11 o'clock Eastern, I will be there. 11th row, Northwestern, who's doing well. We play them Saturday. And then three days later, we play on the road at Wisconsin, which is a very tough place to play in Madison. So the next two are tough games. But again, I like our chances. Evan.
All right. Well, as we said earlier, Kentucky's playing now at Arkansas, the infamous pig suey cheer. Kentucky's up 14 with 24 seconds to go in the half.
Wow.
And I've been keeping an eye on it, and I have to say that there was a period of time we weren't scoring the ball that well, but for us to score 36 points and a half on the road's good. Give a little stat of Kentucky right now. Their last six games – they have been holding opponents to 32 points in the first half, but giving up 41 points in the second half, which is unusual, and which is very unusual. And another thing about defense is Calipari's teams are normally ranked in the top 20 annually defensively. That's right. Kind of his bell cow. People always think he's offensive, but he's a defensive guy. Well, right now, Kentucky's ranked 45th defensively. And that, again, that's an outlier for him. And I'm sure it is absolutely driving him crazy, because he loves great defense.
Well, look at last year, I'm
still an optimist. I know a lot of Kentucky fans are freaking out, jumping off buildings about us losing four games, yada yada yada. But don't forget, in 2011 we lost 6 conference road games, went to the Final Four. In 2014 we lost 9 games before the SEC tournament, went to the championship game.
Yeah,
Cal has a way he can turn it up. Assuming we don't have any devastating injuries like we did with the Nerlens Noel. I'm still holding out faith. If this team can tweak itself defensively, get better decision making with Jamal Murray, and then also a little more consistent play inside, we can be a team to deal with in March. So upcoming, we have Vanderbilt coming into rep on Saturday.
Wow.
Vanderbilt started off showing signs that they could be contending for an SEC championship this year, but I think they're sitting at 500 right now.
Interesting.
They lost at home.
3 7-footers.
They lost at home, which is unusual. They lost to LSU. But I did see, I think they won this week at Tennessee by a large margin. But anyway, Vanderbilt coming into rep. I think it's 3 o'clock on Saturday on ESPN. And then next Wednesday, we host the Missouri Tigers, and they're terrible. So I'm going to say we go 2-0, and we have a caller. We have someone named Compton on the line. Compton, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Yes, as the IU fan in Vanderbilt alum, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to Kentucky, but could you recap the upcoming game against the Commodores that Kentucky has?
Okay, sure, Compton. We appreciate the call. Thanks for calling Red Blue Hoops. I was just talking about that. Vanderbilt comes in Rupp Arena this Saturday. The game's on ESPN. I'm not 100% certain. I think Vanderbilt's currently sitting at 500 in the conference play so far this season. They started the season off pretty well. They're a diversified team. They have better inside play than they traditionally have, and obviously they shoot the ball well, as they always do. They did beat LSU at home. You know, LSU was kind of everybody's darling there for a while, Ben. You know, they're on every ESPN commercial. But LSU kind of is becoming more inconsistent. Once again, I think conference play, it shows the true colors of these teams. But anyway, thanks for the call, Compton. Really appreciate it. So that's Kentucky's upcoming games. We've covered Indiana's upcoming games. Ben, real quickly, give us an update on U of E.
Yeah, UE is now 17-3. I mean, they're up to 40th now in KenPom. Their one common opponent with Kentucky is Arkansas. They lost to Arkansas at Arkansas.
Right.
But they're doing really well. They only have one loss, and that was by 3 points against Wichita State.
Shout out to Marty the Mule Simmons for getting it done this year.
Absolutely. They're doing
I've had fun watching his team. It's his most complete team in regard to both inside, outside play. Plus, they have a couple wing players that are filling in pretty nicely as well. So, congratulations to the Aces. Get out and support them at the Ford Center.
Absolutely. How about the Screaming Eagles?
The Screaming Eagles are currently ranked 25th in the nation. Mm-hmm. They're 13-4 overall, 5-2 in the GLVC. They're traveling tonight playing at Lewis University, and this Saturday they play at Wisconsin Parkside. So, good luck to the Screaming Eagles.
Well, again, I want to thank Marlon Moore for being in the studio. Thanks to our intern, Mr. Godsey, a.k.a. the S-Dog. And I just want to say, Evan, that I have sincerely enjoyed this season. I'm sorry I have to cut it short, but I'm sure we'll find someone that will work well with you. So, again, go Hoosiers, and thank you all for your support.
Ben, we're going to miss you. Red Blue Hoops. Hey.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel, with producer Steve Berger, technical director Samantha Horton, and Walker Beck handling social media. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN, its board of directors, or staff. Or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, Notre Dame fans, Louisville fans, USI fans, and certainly not Duke fans.
This is Steve Berger, Vice President of Radio at WNIN.